The Running Won't Save You podcast season 3 is proudly sponsored by our friends, the Pick and Mix Ninjas at X Miles. How exactly is it possible to get 150 grams of carbs into your body without having a trail accident, I hear you ask? Well, I can't help you there, but what I can help you with is calculating what has 150 grams of carbs in it using the X Miles nutrition calculator, which is free on their website. You just go on there and add all the things that you feel like eating into the basket, and it'll tell you exactly how many carbs, how many proteins, how many sugars, how many calories, how many this, how many that in the nutrition calculator. It is honestly super, super handy and stops you having to read those tiny, tiny little bits of writing on the back of things. So, this season, our wonderful friends at X Miles, I keep referring to them as our wonderful friends, I don't even know if they like me, are giving us a 12-month subscription to X Plus, which is their membership platform, where customers can receive better pricing on single serves, free priority shipping, express order fulfillment, and 5% store credit whenever they go shopping, plus access to exclusive sales. They're giving us a 12-month subscription plus a nutrition bundle, which is a mystery bundle, like a tin of mystery meat in Lidl. This is a mystery bundle of nutrition. If you want to enter the competition, you can go to our Instagram page, which is Running Won't Save You Pod on Instagram. Click and enter the competition. This competition is running till the end of June. Or if you just want to go on there and order some Vela Forte, Tailwinds, Squirrel's Nut Butter, Active Root, High Five, Low Five, Medium Five, whatever five it is that you want to order, whatever food it is you want to order, whatever nutrition it is you're looking for, then head to the website, put it all into the nutrition calculator, put it all in your basket, and enter the code RWSY1010 at the checkout for 10% off. Thanks, guys. We love you. You're amazing. Honestly, I've probably used X Miles more than any other website in the last sort of 10 weeks prepping for the spine. It's great. It's quick. It's easy. And it is cheap. On with the podcast. Welcome to the Running Won't Save You podcast, season 3, episode 5. Yes, correct. I'm Ali Bailey, and this is my co-host,
Kirsty Reid.
Hello, Kirsty Reid.
Hello.
Hi, I'm just going through my phone.
Okay, sure. We'll just sit here and wait.
That's what most people have to do, isn't it?
It's good listening, isn't it?
Going through their phones. How have you been? What's been going on in the world of Reid?
Not much, actually. I haven't done that much running, just through kind of race recovery, being away for work and stuff, and various other things. Not a huge amount of running, but I looked after your dog and she didn't die or kill anybody. So, I mean, that was a success.
Been writing some really weird stuff in a journal, though.
Has she?
More pictures than writing, really, I'd describe.
Right.
She had a lovely time, people did. Right, there's a few things I want to talk about. Success.
Okay.
The sub-4 attempt that was made that wasn't made.
Yeah.
People's responses to that was interesting. And then the other two things I've forgotten about, so that's really professional of me, isn't it?
Okay.
Have you got anything fun to talk about?
I've got a couple of things I want to talk about, which were basically being manhandled was one of them.
Cool.
And another one was AI.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I've just read the most disturbing book in the world. I'm not even going to give the title out because it was so disturbing. I had to like fast forward bits of it.
Cool. Can we guess? Was it an AI book?
It was about the new age of sexism, basically, and how AI is just kind of like, and the metaverse is just like driving this completely new kind of age of sexism that we thought we were all over.
Oh, how exciting. Can't wait for a bit of new sexism. I had a really interesting chat the other day with a couple of men of a certain age. And we were having some food and we were talking, one of them was saying, oh, I saw a hitchhiker in wherever he works. And I picked her up and I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I picked her up. He's like, would you not hitchhike? I'm like, fuck no. No fucking way.
Hang on though. Is this in a national park?
It was outside a national park.
Okay. I was going to say, because in the lakes and the peaks, I would say hitchhiking okay.
Yeah, I haven't
But
got a problem with hitchhiking. The story is the story. It's not about the hitchhiking. The hitchhiking is whatever it
okay,
is.
sorry.
But the question was, would you ever do? I would never, ever, ever get into a car with a bloke I didn't know. Just not going to happen. No fucking way. And this person was like, well, but it was quite, it was, they do it all the time in the lakes and in the Yorkshire Dales. Like, this one was Australian. I was like, yeah, I know, but I'm not doing it because I have been taught to be afraid of men. That's what I've been taught. And deep down, I'm very afraid of all men. And I'm not doing it. It puts me at risk. And he's like, oh, come on. Nothing's going to happen. It's so rare that that happens. Why would you be scared of that? And I got so fucked off about this bloke's fucking male privilege that he's never had to feel
Agree.
afraid of getting in a fucking car with someone. He can just get in a car with someone. Like, I'm not scared of shit. I fucking do well gnarly races. I'll run through the night for 3 nights by myself. I don't have a problem. I'm not a scaredy cat, but I'm not getting in a fucking car in a machine that can, with the doors can be locked and I can be driven away at speed and my phone can be thrown out the window with a man I don't know. Why not? Because of the patriarchy. The end. And if you're not a fucking, if you don't understand that because you've never experienced that fear, then good luck to you in the big wide world.
No, agree. Yeah, hard agree.
Was horrible, and yeah, the more, and also I'm nearing the end of The Handmaid's Tale now, and it's just made me fucking angry, and and then, oh, all the stuff that's going on in America. That's not what this podcast is about. Anyway, what's this book called?
What is it called? I think it is called The New Age of Sexism. It was it's written by the woman who does I think it's called Everyday Sexism, you know, the
Oh
movement. And it, but it's just like really eye-opening for me. Like I had no idea about stuff that goes on in the metaverse and what our kids are exposed to. Well, not I don't have kids, but what kids are exposed
What
to
Pickle's
and that
exposed
sort
to
of
in the metaverse. No wonder she's
Yeah. But no, in the real world though, I was going to mention like so I was working doing media at a race a few weeks ago, and I'm not going to mention the race because the race were brilliant and it's nothing to do with the race. But I the race start they start the women's race first, so that there is they don't get that thing at the finish line of like, oh, I'm going to watch the first three blokes come in and then disappear. So the women have their own kind of finish first, and it's long before the blokes finish, etc. So stood at the finish line, got the stuff I needed for media for that. Then the men's race went off, and I was stood at the finish line wanting to do exactly the same thing, take a video of the first three people, and this bloke grabs me by my backpack and physically moves me out of the way. And I turned around, I was like, what the fuck's going on? I thought there was like a, you know, a
An
incident or something.
emergency.
Exactly. And I turned around and he just like was just like shouting at me in a very angry way. And I pointed to my t-shirt. My t-shirt said media for this organization I was working for. And I thought he was going to say, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were just like a random, like, you know, relative. But no, that didn't make any difference to him whatsoever. And he continued to try and move me. And I looked across, there's like seven or eight other photographers there or other media people there who are all male. And he's not speaking to any of them or touching any of them. Anyway, that's obviously wrong. And I just mention it because I think it's important to call that sort of stuff out. But also, I think that I was the thing that made me most angry about it was he wasn't there for the women's race. None of them were there for the women's race. None of them were interested in that. This big kind of group of people kind of only came there when there was one other photographer there who was with our organisation for the women's race. None of the others were there. None of the crowds were there for the women's race. And I just think we're becoming like very successful at let's give Courtney as much coverage as Jim, and I just think that's all the really easy stuff. But what we're not doing, that's not filtering down to like grassroots level. You know that like younger people. This was a race of younger people actually, and you know I just hated the fact that they're doing this sport. They're the top of their sport for their age, and already they're getting the message that no one cares about the women's race. It's all about the men's race.
They only like it when the women are extraordinary or
There you go.
freakish in some way. So
Probably.
when they're a witch, when they're Courtney, when they're Jasmine, even Stephanie Case, when they're breastfeeding, when they're doing something extraordinary, they will report on it, right? But they won't report on it when they're not. And the way they report, that like the way I see it being reported, is still fucking sexist. Like, if you look at the headlines, right, around the 4 minute mile stuff, a woman failed to break the 4 minute mile. A woman failed. Do you think that's what they would say about a man? Do you think they would say a man
No.
failed?
I
They
think he
first
would have
off,
been
they'd
a
use,
valiant effort and he would have smashed it out of the park, but narrowly missed it because his wife made him get over the baby.
yeah. Why the fastest woman in the world was 6 seconds short? Like, they're not using her name. It's like, yeah, I'm just looking at these fucking headlines and they're not the same as they would be if it was a man.
No, it's
Very
not.
interesting.
Yeah, and the language is different, isn't it? The language is still different, and that's actually yeah. So that's kind of why I was mentioning the book because I think like we think we've had a lot of success with this stuff, and we think oh it's okay now, oh we've solved that problem of like sexism in running or whatever. But then, what AI is creating generative content on data sets that already exists, which are have an inbuilt bias. So, part of what this book is saying is that all of that, we're kind of coming full circle and all that stuff is coming back around again. We're in this world where pretty much everything is going to be like driven by AI fairly soon. Like we're all using it every single day in everything we do. And it's
Are we
already got
using
this.
it every day?
Do you use predictive text?
Do I use predictive text? Don't think, I don't
Do
think
you
so.
open your phone with a with your eyes?
Yeah, I
Your
do.
face?
I do. And also, yeah, and when I, and also when I Google something, or when I Google this or that, like for the writing the book, the first thing that comes up is the AI answer. So even if I don't want to use it, I am using it.
Yeah, we're all using it in every, like if we buy a ticket on a ticket site or whatever, we're using it in ways that we don't even know we're using it. But yeah, this is the point. It's like, sexism in sport. Like we think we've been successful, but actually the whole new wave coming that we need to kind of get on top of now at that kind of grassroots level. It's the same with like the sort of skinny movements. Like we went through that whole body positivity thing. And now everything's kind of gone skinny jab and all that sort of stuff again. So, those kind of like super skinny kind of images are kind of back, aren't they? And it,
Anyone
yeah.
that's bigger than that is seen as like an activist or like a freak or like someone who is like, oh yeah, who's making a point about it instead of just let it be and be like everybody can be whatever fucking size they want. There's always a I'm this size, look at me thing.
Yeah. And I was listening to a podcast the other day with a woman who was she was a body positivity activist, but she gave it up because basically no one was happy. Everyone was like, "Oh, you're too fat. You're not fat enough to be an activist." And she said basically everyone was so obsessed with calling her out about everything that it wasn't getting anyone anywhere. So now, but that is kind of society, isn't it? It's like we're all so obsessed with like. Oh yeah, you're not quite right because of this. You're not quite right because of that. So we're just gonna kind of, yeah. We're not gonna move anything forward because we're so busy calling everybody out about how they're wrong about everything.
How
This,
depressing.
I know, this is not our usual stuff, is it?
No, this is actually quite what's the word? Serious.
We might get an
Serious.
award now.
Don't think we will. I'd love to win an award for my podcast. I love awards. We're not going to be late. Well, that's really depressing, isn't it? Did you watch Western
Yeah,
States? Talking of depressing.
I did watch West.
I
Well, I
thought the
kind of.
women's coverage of Western States was cool. I thought the coverage was quite good. It was quite
Yeah.
equal from what I watched. It was quite
Yeah.
equal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was really good. I mean, I love that. I'll sit and watch that on YouTube all day long. I'm such a geek about that sort of stuff. But no,
I think they
I
should
thought it
let
was really
us
good.
do the commentary, like on a like me and you, then me and Holly, then me and them. I'm obviously the star of the show because everyone's just working around me. I think it would be brilliant. Be much better than the commentary that they had.
Yeah, although it's hard, isn't it? If you had to talk for, like
It's
8 hours,
not hard when
16
you look at
hours.
the shirts they're wearing and you're like, oh, Julius could
Yeah.
come in. He could do a chat about shirts
Yeah.
and like of like what are those shirts the men are all wearing that are like Hawaiian shirts.
Were they some sort of Hoka shirt, maybe? I
I don't
don't know.
know, but they're all wearing them, and it's like they've got it's like dads, they're wearing shirts and bucket hats. It's like watching a load of blokes run away
Yeah.
from something bad that's happening on a beach. Like, it's
Yeah.
weird.
I wonder if it's like Anton Kapitska kind of tribute.
Don't know
Shirt.
when
He's the
that,
running like a shirt, didn't he?
yeah, when's that going to hit the shores of the UK? Never, I hope.
Well, the bucket hat's already here, isn't it? I see a lot
Yeah,
of bucket hats. Yeah.
that is true, but the Fucking wear Hawaiian shirts. That's just fucking weird.
I think the next thing will be the little neckerchief that you put ice in.
Oh, I want a little neckerchief. I think they look quite natty.
And then in triathlon they do that. Have you seen that headband?
No.
The headband that looks like it's got Lego on.
No. What's in it?
I
Cold
asked
stuff.
it. Apparently, yeah, it keeps you cool.
Hmm.
But yeah, so I'm going to buy a bucket hat, one of them, a Hawaiian shirt,
Do
maybe
it.
some mid-length calf socks,
Good
some
idea.
Courtney shorts, and then I'll go out running in the lakes and see how that
That sounds amazing. Can't wait for the comments on that. We have quite a lot of listener feedback on success. Did you hear? Did I send you Gemma's voice note?
You did, yeah.
We're going to play it now.
Hi, it's Gemma here with an update. I did the Epona at the weekend, 100 miles across Wales, loads of mountains. I did it last year and yeah, it was a bad time. I completed it, but it wasn't good for me mentally or physically. So this year I just wanted to go back and have just a really, really fun time, which I did. I had an absolute blast. I had a lovely time. So race went really, really well. Nutrition, fuel, everything perfect. But at about mile 55, 54, coming off the back of Torre Fell, I just decided I'd had enough. It was starting to not be fun and didn't want to carry on. So decided to DNF. No drama, nothing major. But I'm actually really, really proud of this. I know I could have carried on, I could have pushed on, but ultimately I just didn't want to, and I didn't have to. And I think coming to the realization of how much my running has progressed these past, I don't know, 6 months or so, I'm in such a happier place and I'm so much more positive. I didn't have a single bad thought about myself during that race, and everything was just done with the goal of having fun. And it was absolutely lovely. And I think I am more proud of this and the changes that I have seen in myself for the good than I am of quite a few of my race finishes where I've left myself in dark holes for weeks. I'm coming out of this experience just so much more positive and with such a better mindset. So, yeah, that's your update.
So that was Gemma's voice note. She ran the Epona and obviously she, didn't finish it, but she was really thrilled with that. And I think I said last week I was really worried she wasn't telling the truth, or worried she was trying to convince herself that she was all right with it. But as the week has gone on, she is really, really all right with it, and I'm absolutely just chuffed to pieces for her because I think it shows a massive mindset shift, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. And I think if you do have hard and fast rules about when you're going to DNF, and then you kind of reach one of those points, and then you decide to DNF, and then it's a good decision. It's one you'll never regret, is it? Because you've said, okay, if X happens, I'm going to stop. X happens, you stop. It's when you start shifting the goalposts that people get into a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, or looking back, when you look back on it and think, oh, if I'd done this, maybe it'd be different. That could be
Yeah.
difficult. Like, what have you had any? Have you ever stopped a race and have you ever DNF'd a race, not finished a race, and been happy with it?
Yeah, Northern Traverse.
Oh, yeah, Northern Traverse.
Last year, when the weather was really bad and I was miserable and hating it, and I stopped and like I'm fine. I was fine about it. I didn't really get sad about it or anything.
Did you not
And
get at all
then,
sad? Did you not have like in 10 minutes of looking back and going, oh, maybe I should have like put on a
oh yeah,
fucking jacket?
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did. I guess the thing is not to let anybody else's kind of comments or feelings or whatever like influence the way you're feeling, because I think with a DNF it's really easy for you to kind of think, oh, I've done that and it's the right decision, and then somebody will say something and you think, oh, maybe I should have just kept going, or maybe I should have, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think if you're absolutely 100% your own decision and you're willing to like block out any noise afterwards.
What do you think it is about DNFs
that make people think they're a bad thing. Because a DNF isn't a bad thing. Not finishing a race isn't a
No.
bad thing or a failure or it's not anything. It's just a circumstance, like a totally neutral circumstance. It's just like you didn't finish the race. But
Yeah.
why is it? It's like there's a weight in that word didn't and finish. Like there's a
Yeah.
weight in those words. But actually, language is totally neutral. It's our like the value that we put into those words that makes it feel like it's a bad thing. So you know how you get when you DNF Northern Traverse, you get loads of messages like, "Oh no, I'm really sorry. Oh no, what
Yeah.
happened?" Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't get
It's
any
like
that was saying, "Go on, badass, great decision. It was shit out there."
no, 100% no,
Right.
and interestingly, actually, a few weeks ago when I had a race, and I was initially disappointed in the result, but then I got over that fairly quickly. Then I had a few people say to me, "Oh, sorry to hear your race went really shit." And I was like, actually, it didn't go shit. It went the way it was supposed to go, and it was me. I had to shift my mindset and say, "This is your new reality. That this is where you are." But it didn't go shit in any way. It went well. But what's the question again? Sorry.
So I'm really interested because I think that we can be like really comfortable within our like I didn't finish this race. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's my decision that I made. But then other people start coming in and saying, "Oh, I'm really sorry. Oh no, what happened? Are you okay? I'm sorry you had a shit race," or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And suddenly you can be like, "Did I have a shit race?" It's like a
Yeah.
crowd mentality. It's like a mob mentality that something's gone wrong. So you start to question whether or not something has gone wrong.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of it is external factors, isn't it? Because like say like when you didn't finish the arc or whatever, I'm
I mean, I
guessing
made
then.
such a fucking like song and dance over that, and I also was really I felt like I'd failed because I'd literally just written about this in the new book. I'm like I
Yeah.
set my stall out way too my idea of success out way too far up the lane, and I wasn't willing to fucking bend on it at all. So I felt like that was a disaster. I put out into social media that I felt like it was a disaster. So everybody was like, "Oh, it's a disaster," because I said it was.
Yeah, and also I think you'd hit the nail on the head there, social media, is that you're then so say you've just done like UTS or something and you don't finish UTS, then you're then going to be bombarded with like loads and loads and loads of, like Stephanie Case in the media, all the elites, like, oh, look at all these like iconic images of elites, hundreds of people, in the Facebook group or whatever, for on social media about, and the message there is all, this person won, this person was breastfeeding, this person did achieve this amazing thing, all these people finished, you didn't finish, you feel like a piece of shit. And like we attach so much kind of worth to it, don't we, to that finishing a race, or I'm not saying you and I'm saying like people attach so much worth to finishing or to finishing a certain position or whatever. And if an elite DNFs, then it's always like, oh man, they've like blown to smithereens and they've gone blind, and somehow it's still like a really,
They've gone
really like
blind. Who could you be talking about?
no, but that guy went, was it Jared, went blind, didn't he, at the end of Leighton 100 a couple of years ago as well.
Maybe that's the problem with the men in the bucket hats with the shirts. They've gone blind. Too much
Do you know what I
running.
mean? There's something heroic about it, isn't there? Whereas, like, if you or I are crying at God Revie or whatever and decide to stop a race because the weather's really bad, like, no one's gonna think we're heroic, are they? They're just gonna be like, oh God, I thought that those two girls on a podcast, I thought they were good at running.
But it's the other people's opinion thing. So I think it takes a really, really strong sense of self to be like, I'm honestly fine with this, and to actually be fine with it. Like I have one of the things I have is if I DNF something, I have to go back and do it again.
Yeah.
And it's like a pull. It's like a pull I almost can't control. I don't want to fucking pay 1.5 grand to go and do Dragon's Back, but I have. I didn't, there were parts of that race I didn't enjoy at all, but I have.
I've
And
read your
I'm like,
book.
yeah, why have I done that? But then I'm like, actually, I'm really looking forward to seeing where I'm at on this race, right?
Yeah.
So, and the same with the Beaconsway 100. I DNF the Beaconsway 100 because of the weather and other things. And now I'm like, oh, better go and do it again. Why? I've run the Beaconsway hundreds of times, but I feel this pull. And I don't know whether that's I hate this that my athletes said to me a lot, I want to prove it to myself. Like, I don't need to prove anything to myself because I know my self-worth. So what is there to prove? There's nothing to prove to myself. And if you have to prove something to yourself, it means you don't trust yourself. Like, you don't believe yourself, or you really don't believe in yourself. And I think it's great to test yourself, and it's great to go on a journey to learn more. But saying that I need to prove it to myself is saying you don't fucking trust yourself. So I just think I want to go and do it to make. Do I think it didn't. Neither of those things beat me. The first one wasn't good enough. I wasn't quick enough. And the second one, it was raining really hard, and I was wet, and my pants were wet, and I was
I
sad.
know, I was
You were
there.
there. Were you? And we watched 5 episodes of Katie Price's Mucky Mansion up in the
It was one of
Airbnb.
the
It was
greatest.
greatest afternoons of our life. So I don't
Yeah,
see
it
what the
was
problem was
amazing.
there. We had our own little mini endurance fest. So I don't know what that pull is, and I don't know whether that pull is a I'm going to do this to finish it all off or tie up the loose ends. But then I suppose I'm allowed to do that. There's no shame in that, is there? If I want to do
Yeah,
it, I'll do it.
got to have your reasons. And also, it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you went into that first Dragon's Back when you were still in your like, I'm a badass. I can do anything. I can run a thousand miles. I
I was in
can.
early recovery. I was in like really early recovery, and I was probably just over a year at that point. And I was like, "Ha! I've done the hardest thing that anyone can ever do, and that is to stop to like stop doing something that is incredibly bad for me and sort my mental health out. I am fucking Iron Man. Look, watch me roar!" And I'd done the Run Britannia, and I wanted so badly to prove to myself that I was well. And that I could do it. And it was, I was doing it for all the wrong reasons. I was showing no respect for my body whatsoever. And I was also completely out of my depth. Completely out of my depth. But I didn't know that. And I had to go and do it to realise.
Yeah, and I know this because that's when I first met you. It was like the week before Dragon's Back, and what were you
Oh
doing?
my God. I was running a 48-mile ultra at Italy.
As
I was running Gran Turoscador.
a, and that was your taper.
That was my taper. As a sort of, I'd run Britannia, then I went. I had like 5 weeks between Run Britannia and Dragon's Back. Run Britannia's a 1,000-mile run. Then I had the Gran Turoscador a week before. It was like the 28th of August, wasn't it? And the Dragon's Back started like the 4th of
And
September. What a prick!
you were talking about Dragon's Back, and I said, "Oh, I've done Dragon's Back," and you said, "Oh, I'm doing this year," and I was like, "Oh, isn't it next week?" But what I was going to say, so I was reading the other day about conscious success, right? And the definition I read is the mindful progress towards that which is truly meaningful, important, or fulfilling without causing harm.
So who, yourself or the people?
Yeah, well, it's talking about in business. So it's talking about, you can achieve some big goal in business, but if you like, have a load of workers in a sweatshop or whatever, then it's still not a great thing. But that mindful progress towards something which is truly meaningful, important, or fulfilling, you didn't have that with Dragon's Back before.
No.
Whereas now you've been making that mindful progress and you've been consciously working towards this goal. And like again, correct me if I'm wrong, it would be a meaningful goal. For
Yeah,
you.
it would be because it would it uses it tests my problem solving skills. I'm not proving to myself that I can use those problem solving skills. I know I can. I've done it on many races, but it tests it in a different environment where you're there's much money. There's lots of rules on Dragon's Back. You have to stop. You can't run overnight. You have to sleep in those tents. Like, you have to get up at a certain time. It's like being in fucking cult, but it's not a cult. Hashtag not a cult. So it's a different, totally different environment. And I think I'm going into it this time with a head on of I'm going to do everything with my power to be as physically fit as I can be. That block starts next week, so that's going to be fun. But also, I don't really care what the outcome is. I would love the outcome to be the outcome I want it to be. And I have said to people, I have to finish that race because I will feel it. I feel like I'll feel at peace if I finish it, but I'm also very aware that there's lots of things that can go wrong, which means that I won't finish it. If I go into it and everything goes completely right and I don't finish it, I feel like that'll be enough. I will have had enough. And my success, like my markers of success for that race, I'm working on now to so that once they're all fulfilled, I will be like, okay, well, you did the best that you could do in that situation, and you've ticked off all these boxes. And I think that's what Gemma did, like with Gemma's. The year before, she had a really bad coach. She was in a really toxic coaching relationship. She was hammering the living shit out of herself. She was already injured when she went into it. She was obsessed with finishing it. She was obsessed with time. She was obsessed with, like, you know, she was scared. She was like scared of the other runners. And this time, like she said, she just, when the fun stopped, she stopped. That was the end of that. And that's a joy. And I had another athlete actually message me the other day, because a lot of my athletes come to me and we talk and they're like, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I'm like, do you really want to do it? Or are you just doing it because you've seen other people doing it? 100 mile races. I want to do a 100 miler. And I'm like, my big question around 100 mile races is, why do you want to do it? And I think it's because they think it's the next natural step up. But a 100 mile race is not a natural step for anybody. It is.
I didn't do one for ages when I started ultra running.
It's fucking pushing your body to the limits of its ability, right? And now we have the cult of the 200 mile race, where it seems like every race company has a 200 mile race, and it also seems like every person on earth has done a 200 mile race, which they haven't. And that's becoming more normalised. But I think when you look at hundreds or 200s or further, you really have to have a very clear purpose and a very clear why and a very clear, like, because you're gonna have to give up a lot. Like, it's not like, I'm not saying you have to train 100 mile weeks, because you don't. You can get do a 50 100 mile on a 50 mile week, but you are gonna have to do your strength, you are gonna have to do your session, you are gonna have to do your long run, you are gonna have to look at nutrition, you are gonna have to spend a lot of money on stuff, you are gonna have to say no to certain things, you are gonna have to train when you're on holiday, all that sort of stuff, you are gonna have to go on the recce. And if it's just to prove to yourself, that means you don't trust yourself in training already. You don't trust yourself. So it has to be a different reason. And there has to be, what do I want to fulfill? What do I want? What things do I want to put in my bucket? And then once you put those things in your bucket, if you don't finish the race, it's okay, because your bucket's full, right?
Do you want a good quote from Killian actually about Western States?
Yeah, go on then.
The article I read was saying it, it's four, obviously for people who don't know, it's four, he did that race 14 years ago when he was quite a young athlete, and they made like a film about it, and it was this big kind of showdown between like a load of elite runners, and so he was going back to it like 14 years later. But and it says, like, unlike 2011, he has nothing to prove in the sport, which is really true, isn't it?
No,
And he said,
he's the greatest of all time. He always will be. Yeah.
yeah, he said, this time it's about answering a question that's been waiting 14 years. It's not about being young again. It's about training with intention, respecting recovery, and staying curious about what's still possible.
Oh my God, I love him.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? And it's like, and I actually believe that, like, from a lot of people, I wouldn't believe that, but I actually believe it from him. He has got nothing whatsoever to prove to anybody.
No.
I don't even think he gives that much of a shit about racing anymore.
No.
And he's very selective about what he does. And like, you've got to think, like, if he came 20th, he still, I mean, he came third, right? I would think that is a big success for him in terms of finish position anyway, being on the podium. But I think if he'd come 15th and still beaten his time from 14
How
years ago,
many hours did he beat his own time by?
an hour and a half,
Yeah. So
his previous
14
time.
years older, and he beat his previous time by an hour and a half.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean,
We
obviously the
just,
sport's
why don't
moved
people,
on, but.
yeah, we, but we don't, why don't we just look at that and go, fucking hell. Like, fucking hell. Like, the thing is with Western States, you always get these people that come through that you're like, who the fuck is that? Like, who is that? And that should be a lesson to everybody, because if you're looking at the start line, you're like, oh, actually, I don't know who any of these women are. Doesn't fucking matter who, if you don't know who they are, doesn't matter. Like, a lot of them could be better than you, like, or faster than you. But we don't look at that, do we? We don't go, Jesus Christ, like, it's, you know, you, like you said with Robbie's race the other day, 20 people broke the course record. Like, every single person who did that race is fucking in the success bucket, because that's incredible. But I think that quote is, can you read that quote again?
It isn't about you being young again. I mean, that's immaterial. It's about training with intention, respecting recovery, and staying curious about what's still possible.
Oh my God.
It works for all of us,
All
doesn't
my
it?
athletes need to listen to that. It's such a good quote, because that's all you need to do. That's it. I don't need to coach anybody. If they just did that, then training with intention is such an important thing to do. Like, it's so important. And I think that, yeah, like you say, with Killian, he can do, he's got the self confidence or the self worth through evidence to be like, it doesn't really matter. Nothing really matters, because I've done what it's out to do. I wonder if Jasmine feels like that now. I wonder if she's like, I've done what I set out to do, so whatever happens next, I don't really care, like, because
Yeah.
my bucket is full. Like,
It's
I did what I
interesting,
said
isn't
I would
it?
do.
And I wonder if it depends what you're in it for. You know, because he's always been about doing the, you know, big mountain ranges and those massive challenges and experiences and stuff. And I mean, I don't know what Jasmine's motivation is or what her goals are or whatever. But then I was talking to a guy called Jonathan Wyatt, who I work with sometimes, and he's a double Olympian marathon runner, double Commonwealth Games marathon runner, 6 times world champion in mountain running. He's pretty much the greatest greatest runner ever to me. And he had the Sierra Zinal record for like over 10 years, and he still holds a lot of records now. But he was saying that he was a racer. He one of the reasons he gave up marathon running is that it was always about time, it was always about a PB, and like he just kind of wasn't that interested in it. You know, when he got to a point he couldn't really improve on it, he kind of moved on to like another sport. So he did like cross country, then he went into track, mastered that, went into road running, mastered that, went into and for him it was always about that kind of continual development, and it was always about racing. He just wanted to win. He's just a racer. And when he reached that point that he knew he wasn't as competitive as he wanted to be anymore, he could just let it go. Because he said to me, racing is about comparing my level with other people's level, and I don't need to do that anymore. So I don't race. So now he will jump into the odd mountain race and do it for fun. And he says now it's not about performance, it's about experience, which I really like as well.
I'd
So my
love
point
to
was,
see like Killian come over. Or like him come over and just do some of the stuff like the wild horse, you know, the stuff that's just like hidden away in the UK that's hard. Or like, I'd love to see Killian have a go at one of the spine races.
I don't.
Wouldn't you?
I would, but I think he would. I mean, he's come over here and raced, hasn't he, in Scotland and stuff. I think he'd just be all about the mountains, wouldn't he? Obviously, he did his BG famously. That I guess his BG and Skyline Scotland are they're the only markers of how he compares to any of our kind of athletes over here, I guess.
Yeah, it would be. Do not be good. You know how have you ever watched TV, Kirsty? Do you know what TV is?
Yeah.
Oh, you know we hate big TVs on this. How big's your TV?
It's really small.
We knew it would be. We
I only got a
guessed.
flat screen one about 4 or 5 years ago.
Right, and it's this. You know, I guess your flat screen's the size of an iPhone, a small iPhone,
No, laptop.
laptop size. Okay, they have some fucking shit on TV. Noel Edmonds' Kiwi Adventure. Jane McDonald goes on cruises. I don't know, fucking Bill Bailey goes to every little in the country, right? What about Killian goes to every independent race company in the country and does one of their races? It would be brilliant. I would watch that. I would be interested
Yeah,
in that.
but would it be fulfulfilling if you're Killian
No,
to like go and smash the
he would
shit?
have to be forced, but I think Courtney would enjoy it.
Do you know what he? So Killian did Broken Arrow 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did he? They did Broken Arrow. They're trotting over to do Western States. Sure.
Well, he did the. They have a race called the Ascent, which is basically a VK, but VK is a trademark. So he did that race, and he didn't have a good day. He said he wasn't feeling that well, but he came 20th, and he only beat the first woman, Anna Gibson, by a couple of seconds, and it looked like the
Oh.
first woman was going to catch him. But then he's not going to be ashamed and disappointed, is he? Because he's just going to
No.
be like, I've got nothing to prove to anybody. I don't care.
No, and like, what was the last race Courtney did where she DNF'd?
Oh, it was the two thingy 250, wasn't it, that
Yeah,
Jack was doing?
Cocodona, yeah.
Cocodona.
It's really interesting, like what you said about elites DNFing, where we just go, oh, they've just tried so hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's so great. That's so great that they can make the decision. Like, it's like your opinion on the person. I think it's probably this, your opinion on the person beforehand will taint how you feel about them finishing or not finishing the race.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
it does with us. When we talk, look at those fucking grifters on
Yeah.
Instagram, they go off and finish something and we're like, what the fuck? And then we look at their lapse time versus their moving time. And then we realize they were the last person on the course. And then they fucking lay on the floor, roll around and say it was brutal and the hardest thing they've ever
I
fucking done when it was actually
don't know who you're talking
they didn't fucking train.
about.
Like, So we've already got an opinion on those people, and then we put that into our opinion on their result. And I guess when it's someone that you love, if you see on Instagram that they haven't finished a race, you think, oh, well, they must have really wanted to finish that race. This must be really sad for them because they haven't got what they wanted. Because you assume what they wanted was to finish the race, but you don't know that that's what they wanted at all. So with one of a couple of my athletes, like going back to this thing of, do you really want to do a 100 miler? Sometimes they come to me with these races, and I say to them, let's look at what the result you want to create is long term, and we get to the realization, and this makes me seem like the anti-coach, that they don't want to do it at all. They don't really want to run a 50-mile race. And I've just had one of them message me, and I won't give you her name, but this is really interesting. Because, and it's a message that I think some coaches would be like, oh no, but I'm like, yes, this is brilliant. Hi, Ali. I DNF'd my 50K at the halfway point yesterday. I was fueling and hydrating, but just got overheated and couldn't cool down because it's really hot. I really want to finish this one because I don't want to do the 50-mile race she signed up for. I've thought about it a lot and written it all down, and I've realised that I'm doing it for the wrong reasons, which means I'm not enjoying the process either. I've got a coaching call booked with you tomorrow, so perhaps we can discuss it then. That means coaching is working.
That's success.
That's fucking success. That is knowing yourself. That is not making excuses. That is not like, that is going, do you know what? I don't actually want to do this. And that is fucking brilliant, because when you know what you don't want to do, then you can look at the stuff you do want to do. And if that stuff you do want to do is simply local trail marathons or half marathons or 5Ks even, that's fucking a-okay. Look at my boob. That's fucking a-okay. Sorry, I'm wearing a sports bra in the as my conservatory. I just had to tilt my screen and
I
curtsy. Like, right, Eiffel.
just got an extreme close up.
Yeah, you lucky woman. But that's success, isn't it?
That is success. Like, but we it's not success that we reward as a society, is it? You know, if they I think it's just it's that well, okay, here's an interesting thing, right? This is gonna feel like dictionary corner, but when I was doing my research, I accidentally found out that the archaic meaning of success is a good or bad outcome. The word success meant the outcome. So the archaic definition is the good or bad outcome of an undertaking. So the example it gives is the good or ill success of their maritime enterprises. And I quite like that, because it's like, the success has so many kind of like really, really heavy kind of associations, doesn't it? Like we've all said in these podcasts, like, wealth, having a great job. It's like when people friend you on Facebook from school, and you go, oh, I wonder what they're up to now. And then they you look at them and you go, God, they're so successful. They're like managing director of their own business. They've got six children who are all like astrophysicists. And then but it's like, well, that's not my definition of success. Why does that matter to me?
Yeah,
So
it's
yeah, I quite like
fucking
that.
one of the biggest what's the theories I try and get people's heads around is that everything is neutral and everything is circumstance, and that's all that everything is. And people, I'd say 4% of people can understand this, right? So death is neutral. It's death is definite and it's neutral. We're all going to die and it doesn't mean anything. It just means that our bodies have given up. We're dead, right? Now, when we see it, someone dies, if it's someone that you're related to or someone that you love, then you feel terrible. But if it's someone you don't know, you don't feel anything. But the circumstance is the same. That person is dead. If you look at like Trump or Musk or Keir Starmer, they're saying the same things to the same people, yet half of the audience thinks they're fucking brilliant and half of them thinks that they're wankers. And that's because of the thought we put into what they're saying. What they're saying is neutral. They're not saying anything good and they're not saying anything bad. What they're saying is completely fucking neutral. It's our thoughts about it that make it like that. And that's what it's like with this idea of success. Success doesn't mean shit to anybody. It's neutral. Like the outcome of your race or the outcome of your life or the what you do for a job. It's just fucking how much money is in your bank account? It's a neutral fact. Doesn't mean fucking anything. But we put value on it depending on our like opinions about that thing. And so with money, I've had this conversation with someone about they're like money, people with money are rich and rich is bad, rich is evil because they've done something to get that money. I'm like, why is rich evil? Like rich people aren't evil. Like, but this person believes that rich people are evil because they must have done something bad, fucked someone over in order to get that money, or they've inherited it. They don't deserve it. Who deserves money though? Like, what is that deserving thing? Again, that's they either got money or you haven't. It's neutral. And we've created this narrative and this language where we with full of meaning, where we it's all of about fucking opinion. And if we can just take our opinions away for a second, and this is me included because I have some fucking opinions, as we all know, everything is neutral. And people are like, but what about people? What about the war in Gaza? What about, like, you know, we have these, that's morals. That's like our opinion on morals. The what is going on is neutral, but it's our morals and our feelings and how we feel and our judgment and how fair things are. And that's absolutely valid. But when we're looking at success, if you can just take out for a minute your opinion and look at the facts, have I gone through the process, like Killian says, have I trained with intention? Have I, you know, am I curious about the outcome as opposed to defining what the outcome should be? Like the word should be banned. Like you'll have your whatever the outcome is, you'll enjoy the outcome more. You'll accept it better. And then you go on to have more outcomes. Because the outcome of your race at the weekend isn't your final outcome, is it? It's not the thing that
No.
people got, you're not going to be laying on your deathbed, or you're not going to be, someone's not going to be doing a eulogy at church to talk about when you fucking came second at the Grizzly Bear 50K in fucking
Going
Cornish.
to be buried in my trophy, though.
Yeah, you're all
Yeah.
across along the top of your fucking coffin. It's just going to be your trophies glued on. So they can't move when they're lifting it up. They probably won't be able to lift up mine because it's got so many medals hanging off the bottom of it. Like, it doesn't
Wow.
fucking matter, does it?
I get, well, I guess you've got performance-based success, haven't you? Where people like Jono, who, like, he just wanted to win, he just wanted to race. And then process-based success, which is about how successful you are in the consistency and the habits and all of those things. 'Cause I would say, like, that's what I'm most successful at is just being consistent and stuff. And I was thinking the other day, like, I had like a few weeks of going to Italy, doing a race, coming back, recovering, then being away working, and then being somewhere different, looking after Pickle and stuff. And like, I was all out of my routine, and I really hate that because I really like my routine. And then I feel like I've very successfully got back into it. So for instance, like I was doing like really regular yoga, and I felt like it was doing me a lot of good. And then I got out of the habit of doing it because I was like on a shitty hotel carpet or whatever, and just doing different things. But then I think like an unsuccessful outcome for me would be me going, oh, I've kind of got out of the habit of that now, I just won't do it anymore. But then I got back into it, and then I feel really good about that, and I feel that's quite a fulfilling thing, even though it doesn't mean shit to anybody. But to me, that's quite important because it's keep like, I sit down all day in my job, and I have a bad back, and like that keeps that going. And doing strength work, it's doing my hips a lot of good. I have problems with my hips when I'm running and stuff like that. So it's just and it's just keeping me calm. It's just like an hour or half an hour, like in the evening, when I turn my phone to silent, put Yoga with Adrian and Benji on the TV, and have just like quiet time in my own head.
I think that,
So,
yeah, that's fucking, knowing that that is something that you're like, this is a real success for me, is fucking brilliant, isn't it? Like having that quiet confidence of like, I know that this is like a really good thing for me to do. I think that's amazing. And it's such a personal thing. Like it's like, you know, I keep going back to Gemma's voice note, but it's like such a personal thing to have that contentment of like, I'm actually fine with this. And I'm not gonna, you know, I feel like Pickle wants to say something.
Hi,
I feel,
Pickle.
yeah, I think that a
Miss
success,
you.
I think that a success would be if you got off there and maybe took me for a run where there's some water, okay? I think a success would be maybe a restock of those hairy goat's ears, okay? Fucking hell. Demanding.
Wow.
Oh, I forgot what I was gonna say, and it was probably very insightful
Yeah.
because I was
But
interrupting
it's that
myself.
thing, isn't it, of like, you have to have a personal idea of what success is and shut out all of the noise. Because I've like the last few weeks where I've not been running much, maybe do it, well, I won't say the amount, because like my not running much is somebody else is running a lot, or vice versa. But for me, I've not been running much, so I've not been looking, I've actively like not been looking at Instagram or Strava or whatever, thinking, oh, I don't want to see loads of other people's runs, even though I'm not usually affected by that, but I'm just not going to put myself in the position where I'm thinking, oh, everyone else is doing loads, and I'm not able to do a lot at the moment. Because I think it's very easy, isn't it? You set your own store, you set your own goals, and you've got your own, this is my goal, this is where the goalposts are for me between here and here. for success, and then you do the thing, and then you look at other people, and you keep shifting your goalposts,
Yeah,
don't
and this is really interesting with post-spine, how many people are like back at it on Instagram. Back at it. And it's
you?
like, we don't need to put this on Instagram, really. But you can if you want, do what you want. It honestly hasn't affected me at all because I've been knackered and I'm like, because of the training work so well, because of what because I did what Holly and Pete said, because it works, I will do what Holly and Pete say. Like, I'm just like happy to trust their judgment. And I don't have any question whatsoever. And I went out the other day and tried to do something. And oh my God, it was ridiculous. Like, I just felt like I was like, you're not ready to do this. So it ended up as a high cup, Hallam fell, losing pickle, scrambling down bank. It was quite fun. But I was like, this is fun. I'm outside. I've got some air. It took me an hour and 20 minutes to do 3 miles. And I was like, oh, that was quite good fun. And it was just a bit of exercise outside. Whereas today, we're going out and I'm going to try and run 4 miles and then see where I'm at. But I'm trusting, I don't care what other people are doing. I'm trusting what I'm doing. And when I did put a video up saying, fucking hell, I'm knackered. I'm back at ground zero. And a lot of people went, thank you for putting this up because so many other people are like back at it. #5K. And it's like, yeah, I used to do that.
Yeah, I mean, two things on that. One, I think sometimes the success is resting.
Oh my God, yeah, it is. And it's like, I'm
It's
not still
like,
not. I was like, why am I so tired week two? Because it's not 100 miles, it's 150 odd miles. And it's not crude. You haven't been eating loads of nice donuts and fucking things you wanted. It's uncrude. It's a different race. You've got to accept your tiredness.
each race is completely different, and also I think I had this conversation with someone the other day about how sometimes I think if you haven't got the outcome that you want, you can be quite mean to yourself. But if you have got the good outcome, then you're like, I'm gonna rest and I'm gonna do everything to plan like I was
Yep,
gonna do.
exactly.
Whereas I think sometimes when you haven't got a good outcome, you can be like, well, I don't deserve to refuel this much. I
And
don't
the other
deserve
thing
this
is,
rest.
people who DNF are like, well, I haven't run the whole race, so I don't need to rest, which is absolute nonsense. No matter how much of the race you've done, you still need to rest because you've got the compacted fatigue of the training, the compacted fatigue of the block, but also the fatigue of, however many miles you've run, you also had to make the decision to stop. You've had to like then be picked up. So you've been out for a long period of time. You still need to rest the same way that you would rest if you'd finished the race. So, yeah, I get a lot of people who do like maybe 30 or 40 miles of a sort of 100K and they're like, oh, can I start running next week then? And it's like, no. Like, but
It's
it's that reason, isn't it? It's like, I didn't do what I said I'm going to do, so I don't deserve to have this rest.
I think that's a big point. I've definitely felt like that. The other thing I was going to say is it's that hustle culture thing, isn't it? It's that, like, we're all that image that we're projecting, not again, not you and I mean people. That image that we're projecting on Instagram, and we did this thing and it got us loads of attention, and therefore I'm gonna get straight back at it because I want more hits of dopamine or whatever. And that, I think it's just like it's almost that hustle culture thing of having to be continually doing, continually achieving, never let up or whatever.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's fucked.
I hate it. I hate it.
It takes a long time to get over that as well. Okay, I've got some correspondence. Correspondence. This one is from Nick Stevenson. She says, this is about success. So I'd really like it if more of you could send me some DMs about your things that you've turned that frown upside down, or that you're like, this has been a massive success to me, because it is really inspiring to other people to hear listener stories, because it helps them to I hate the word reframe. I really don't like using it. I don't know why I hate it so much, but I do. But to reframe that, those thoughts. Nick Stevenson, thank you so much for the last episode, especially the bit about defining your own success. I listened whilst running Endure 24 in Leeds. Blech. The hot conditions had put pay to my dream of getting to 100 miles in 24 hours, so I decided to get to 50 and call it a day. My hips were feeling sore from the hard ground, and I realised I wasn't having fun. Good work, Nick. Anyway, I found that the adventure element of an ultra is what motivates me. Moving through the landscape and discovering new things is what gives me joy, which is really hard when you're on Endure 24 at Leeds. I realised I wasn't having any. I realised I was doing Endure 24 for all the wrong reasons, because I could get to 100 miles in 24 hours to prove it to others. Thanks again for helping me check in with my gut. I'm off to do some beautiful landscapes in the North York Moors this week and leave the laps to others. Good work, Nick. Good work.
Yeah, that's a success.
Yeah, it is. Some people like running round and round in circles. Some
I
people
used to
fucking
love
hate
it.
it. Did
I
you?
used to absolutely love it. Yeah, I've done, yeah, loads.
Who's next? Who's this? Oh, this is John. Not John Barton. But just to mention John Barton,
Yeah.
John Barton. Hi, an interesting success for me was to actually be able to have a really strong and long, John, a really strong and long downhill experience in a race. In 2022, during Madeira 85K, most of the last part of the race, after the highest point, is all downhill. I had a weird leg issue, which basically stopped me being able to run downhill, which actually cost me a lot of time and was quite frustrating. Then in 2023 at Lavaredo, 120K, I had the same thing happen after a really solid two-thirds of a race. It was such a weird thing, as no lasting injury, and my physio was a bit mystified. Anyway, roll on 2024, and I worked really hard on my strength coach as I had a race in Bulgaria, and the last part was around an 1800-meter descent into a wild, on a wild range of terrain. From the get-go, I was able to run well. So much that I was having so much so that I was having the best time, smiling and cheering on everybody else I overtook. So, sometimes when things go tits, it can actually be the best thing to happen because it's the thing that makes you go, fuck, I need to really work on this, right?
Yeah.
I had that. That's what happened at Dragon's Back. Because I was like, you are weak. You need to be stronger. And that's when I started doing strength training.
And doesn't it just show that it is all about consistency? It's like you can't do that and then turn it around for the next race or whatever. That's taken him like 2 years to kind of reach that point. But also I was thinking the other day about success actually, is that, and this is connected to what we were talking about at the start about we can't get complacent about, sexism and stuff like that. Is that when you do have a big success, I think it's quite important to follow up with a failure. No, hear me out, hear me out. No, but if you just, so you like you won the spine, like if you then just went on from race to race to race, kind of oh, win, 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 then you're probably gonna get complacent, right? You're not gonna work as hard or whatever.
I'm going to be honest with you, I'd fucking hate that. It's not
Okay.
my, because it's winning everything is not what I'm here to do. I'm here to
No,
learn how to
sure,
be the
but
best version of myself. So
do you know
yeah,
what I
you're
mean? If
right.
you just had success, your perceived success, whatever, in every single thing that you did, you just wouldn't work as hard. You just wouldn't want it as much. You almost need a bit of a kick in the teeth every now and then, so that you can get back on it and change things and, develop and keep improving.
Yeah, exactly. If you're learning French and the only time things that you're ever going through in French is where's the bakery? Where's the station? How do I get to school? What's going on at the beach? Then you're never going to learn how to like recite Shakespeare in French, are you? If you never like get it wrong, if you're never working up. Like I always say that I do think language is a good metaphor. You know, you can't fucking do two lessons of Duolingo and expect to have a fluent conversation in French. You can't do half a bit of training and then expect to go run an ultra and have a good time. It's just not, it just doesn't fucking happen. Who's next on my list of wins? Peter Edwards, success, a definite redefinition for me today. Ran the Round Sheffield Run, 14-ish miles off trail in 11 timed stages. It's good fun. I don't really understand the Round Sheffield Run, but lots of people like it. My third, but my 15-year-old's first, and we ran as a pair. We helped each other through the tough bits. We kept each other's pace sensible, and best of all, ran with smiles on our faces and finished. I ignored all my previous times and had a top day out, highlight of my year. So obviously, Peter's a time guy. He's a times guy. But he ran with his 15-year-old, which is so cute. And a 15-year-old's allowed to run that far.
It would be up to the race organisers,
Just
wouldn't it? I
asking
don't know.
for the social
But
workers listening to the pod. Once I made Julius's son run 7 miles, he was about 11. I think that was probably against the rules, but anyway. Good work, Peter. And then my last one for this week is this is a we're talking about weight here, so if you don't want to hear about weight, then switch it off. A little big success for me. This is from Jazz. I've calorie counted my entire life. I've been in inverted commas clinically obese. I've been a size zero. I've lived with eating disorders that have done damage to my body and my brain. And for the first time, age 41, despite still being in inverted commas overweight, according to the NHS, I don't feel the overwhelming need to track it all as closely as I used to. I let myself eat what I need to instead of worrying about going over budget on calories. I take on the carbs I need during long runs instead of trying to fast through and crash, and I'm stronger than I've been for ages, and that's a massive success for me. And I think that that is a good success for everyone.
very good success. Yeah, again, consistent, like long-term kind of change, isn't it? It's not, so I just think like all the reward is in the doing, isn't it? And the the training. It's not in like the
No,
end thing. It's
because the
like
end thing isn't the end.
it's the work, isn't it? It's all about the work.
The end thing
Yeah.
isn't the fucking end. Like, when do you ever get to the end of a race? I mean, maybe some people do. Spencer Matthews. It gets to the end of a race and go, that's it, I'm never doing that ever again. You don't generally, do you? I think people that listen to this podcast don't do that. It's going to be an ongoing process. And like you say, it's the challenge of the ongoing process of how I think about this next block of training and I'm like, I feel a little bit nauseous because I'm like, oh man, it's going to be really, really hard work. It's going to take up a lot of time. There's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to be like dreading because it's hard. And I still dread doing things that are hard, but I just can't fucking wait. It's like there's two sides of me that's like, oh, I don't want to do it. And the other side that's like, this is the best thing you can possibly do for yourself. Because it's going back to that thing of believing yourself, isn't it? Like, I believe I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do, and I'm going to go and do it. And if that builds the confidence that when you're standing at that start line, you feel like you belong at that start line. You feel like you've done everything that you can to be ready to be at that start line. And a lot of my athletes say to me, you know, I don't feel ready. I feel nervous. I feel this, that, the other. And the best thing you can do, listener, is write down the evidence. So get your book out, get your pen out, and write down the evidence as if you were going to present it in a court of law to your brain. Here's the evidence. Look at my Strava. I've done 50-mile weeks for the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. I've done a session a week. I've done a strength session a week. I've done this, that, the other. I've watched this documentary. I've recce'd the route. All that is evidence that you can't refute. And when you look at it as circumstance of fact, then look at the other thoughts you're having. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not prepared. I should have trained harder. That's not evidence or fact. It's just thoughts.
And look, I remember my first big mountain race was the CCC in 2010, and I really remember standing on the start line in Courmayeur, looking around at everyone else and thinking, oh, I just can't run with, look at these people's legs, they're all so fit, like they're all so, yeah, just everything about them. I just thought, I don't fit in here, I shouldn't be here. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, but then what happened?
Well, I finished the race, all right, and then but then I did lots and lots of years of doing that stuff and training and doing all the work and preparation and process, and now I do feel like I belong there.
How did you, when you felt like that at the start line, what did you do? Did you just run with it or did you try and, because a lot of athletes try and think over the top of it and they're like, no, but. Whereas it's like you have to accept those thoughts and be like, they're here. They're talking to me and I acknowledge them and accept they're here, but I choose to think this. So what, how did you cope with that?
Oh, it's so long ago, it's hard to remember. But I think I think I just went with it and thought, well, if I'm at the back, I'm at the back, that's fine. I wasn't at the back. Yeah, no, I definitely didn't try and overthink it. It was more about okay, I'm like some skinny person with really white legs from who lives in Oxfordshire who didn't even bring poles.
Oh no. Oh no.
I didn't know they existed. I didn't know they existed until I did that race. And there was like me and about two other people, and we'd like look at each other and go, "You British, yeah."
Yeah, ain't got any pulse. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just accepting where, like, I was a rookie, accepting where I was, except like seeing what happened. And then from then, but then I went back the next year with poles, having done loads and loads of hill training. The other thing I didn't do actually, which is not very relevant, but I did loads and loads of uphill training, didn't do any downhill training. So I got to
Oh,
like
wow.
the second downhill or whatever, and my quads were blown because I didn't know what it felt like to do a, to run downhill for, like 2 miles or
You
whatever.
don't. One of my highlights of that first Dragon's Back, the NF, was I ended up being non-competitive and going, it was before the hatchling, but it was, so I was on the hatchling before it was the hatchling. And on the Thursday, there's a 10-mile road section, which is all downhill that runs into the camp,
I
right?
remember it well,
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
And you're like, oh, 10-mile road section, all downhill. Banger. Like in your head, you're like, that is nice. What's that? Like, that's probably, do you know what? Like about 1 hour and 45 minutes. Not a problem. Snipper un problem. I'll be flying. Because going downhill is easy. Except going downhill is not fucking easy when you've absolutely smashed your quads. And I remember like sort of hobbly jogging down it because my quads were like, they felt like uncooked spaghetti, like they might snap at any minute. And I remember Gary House casually jogging past me and being like, all right. And I was like, no. And he was very sweet, but I was so fucking angry about the fact I couldn't run down this road that I will never forget that. Whenever I go into the gym and do my strength training, if I can't be bothered, I think about that road. I'm like, nah, you're doing your strength training because you want to be able to jog down that road. And in on the spine, 3 years of strength training it's been, and on the spine, I was able, even though my feet were in shreds, I was still able to run down the hills. I was still able to run down that hill at the end, and it didn't hurt. And that's like, that to me is a massive success, a long-term success. If something went wrong, it really fucked you off. You did something about it, and now it doesn't go wrong. Sometimes it does go wrong, and sometimes I do batter them, especially if I'm running too fast. I knew it. 6 miles into that race, the spine, there is a downhill into Thwaite, off Thwaite Shona. Me and you have done it. You know that the gravelly downhill where Pickle had a photo taken by the quad. That's how me and Kirsty define where we are. Do you remember that bath that Pickle got in? Yes, that there. Yeah, we know. We basically know. There should be blue Pickle plaques everywhere. Running down that hill, I literally went past a guy and I said to him, "We are fucking our quads." And he went, "Yep, I know." And we both knew we were doing it, but we kept fucking doing it. But actually, it was all right because I had the strength. So that those sort of things, remembering that start line at CCC and being like, that was always the start of a huge success story where you've built yourself into this fucking mountain runner, and now, you know. I don't know how you feel about it, but whenever I see you going to do these races, I'm like, that is way above my pay grade because I don't have that experience, and I don't have that strength, and I don't have that like ability to keep going for that far. Like, I feel like you're like one of the bastions of mountain running that is within the group because you're so fucking good at it. Like, it doesn't, I'm not saying that you're the fastest, you're not breaking records, but you can do it, and you fucking keep going doing it, and you are, I feel like you're confident in it. You might not feel any of those things, but that's how I see you.
Yeah, oh, thank you. I just think that it's different. It's just different. It's a different type of race. And I think I see it a lot now where people enter, like, I don't know, Lakes in a Day or some or like a race in Europe or whatever. And then they'll come back and they'll go, oh God, it was just like so rocky. Like you could hardly run at all. Like
Oh, that's not runnable.
I liked it. And it's like, no, that's what it is. That's what the challenge is. But it's funny, like when. That so the that the CCC starts in exactly the same place as the tour, like on the same bit of road in Courmayeur.
Oh my
And
God.
I always think about that moment, like on where I'm stood there on the road and I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't got the proper kit, my backpack's jiggling everywhere, like I made every single mistake. And I did think about that at the start of the tour, actually,
You're
too,
wearing
which
your
was
Skechers. You've got your bucket hat on, your Hawaiian shirt.
that's it. Got my tennis shorts.
Yeah.
Couple of knee
For some
braces.
reason, you've got a tennis racket.
But no, I did think about that at the start and just thought, God, yeah, I've come a long way, baby.
Yeah,
But
this is.
that is talking about running downhill, that is one of the ways I judge success. The biggest way I judge success is like how my legs feel at the end. And I feel if like after the tour, like I didn't really have DOMS, did I, the next day, and I was walking around and I was all right
It
and
was shocking, to be quite frank. It
But
was like,
it's
what the
like
fuck? Like, having seen
that's
those fucking elite wankers who were just like in pieces for 3 days, and then seeing you, it was like, whoa. Like, it was. You were just like, where should we go? Let's go for coffee. Let's go for a walk. It's like, what the
But
fuck?
again, I'd say it's a different race. Like
Totally different race.
that elite race, that's an elite running race. I was in the middle-aged ultra walking
I don't think you can say that
race.
about the Tour de Gironde because it's like, it's such a fucking hard race. You did so well.
Yeah, no,
Like,
it is hard, but anyway, my def that's my one of my genuinely like one of my big definitions of success is like how I feel afterwards at the end or whatever or the next day, because I don't want to be lying in bed for a week or.
No. I'm getting a bit annoyed about this tiredness, but I am going to go and get some porridge in a minute, and then I am going to get down the reserve and just do a jog, dog jog with Pickle, where I'm like just do 7 miles. It's not the Lake District, you know. Sticking in fucking Hallin Fell in the middle of your run is not a good idea. And I just need to. And I think the other thing is, I know that getting back running will help to shift the tiredness because actually it's like a lethargy that's from lack of movement. So, yeah, but I'm not, like you say, I'm not achy, nothing hurts, nothing's broken. Like, it's not like I feel like my muscles are broken. I just feel fucking tired. So yeah, that is a great measure of success. Listen, there's something very, very exciting is happening next week for me and Kirsty. It's first. It is something we have been talking about for a long time.
Yeah, we've built it up.
We built it up. I think it's
World's
something.
media is watching.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Kirsty, do you want to tell them what we're doing next Monday?
On Monday, Ali and Joe
Hang on, hang
Mosley.
on. Maybe we shouldn't say in case some harmless fans of the sport turn up and want to join
Oh
us.
yeah, we
Or,
won't say where it is.
but it might be an assembled crowd might turn up.
Let's just say you, me, and Jo Mosley, who's the greatest woman living, go and buy her books, look her up, listen to a podcast. We are going on an aerial expedition, would you say?
Guys, we're going on Via Ferrata.
Oh, you said that. I think there's only one Via Ferrata in the UK, you idiot.
Via Ferrata, it means no worries for the rest of you. That's what that song's based on. Via Ferrata.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting, isn't it? Joe's terrified of heights.
Oh, does she know what Via Ferrata is?
She's doing it. So Joe is, I think, coming up for 60. I don't think she'd mind me saying that. And she's conquering her fears. So Joe recently learned to skateboard. She goes on like skateboarding
Fucking hell, I
weekends.
love Jo Mosley.
She's
Does
amazing.
she wear knee pads and a helmet?
Yeah, she
Do you think
does.
she'll wear knee pads and a helmet to Via Ferrata? Oh, we've got to wear
We'll all be wearing
helmets.
helmets.
Oh, so annoying. I'm going to kick off about that because I don't think I need one.
See if they've got a hair mat, one that keeps your hair okay. Do
I just want one with a hole and so my little bun can pop out the top.
you want me to call ahead?
Please do. I'll just bring a drill or a saw so I can saw a
I'll
hole
just
in
say
it.
leave it in the VIP room
Yeah,
for when we
100%.
arrive.
What do you think's in the VIP room? I think there's a kettle and one of those 3-in-1 coffees.
Yeah, what have you put on your rider for the Via Ferrata trip?
A Fanta, full fat, two Tunnocks bars, and that's it. I haven't really thought about anything else.
Okay. But yeah, it's going to be very exciting. Yeah, Jo Mosey went to the climbing wall the other day, went to a very, very high climbing wall to try and sort of start to conquer fears. But isn't that brilliant? That is success, isn't it? Like,
Yeah.
if you keep progressing, keep trying new things, keep, conquering your fears.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've got a real problem with ridges. Like I hate them.
Ridges.
Yeah, ridges. Like, so if you
You know, dragon
Clugach, yeah. Like Clugach is not my
spike.
favorite place on earth.
Nor
I can
mine. Nor mine,
do
though.
it, but I don't like it. I'm going to have to go and do it in August actually, just to refresh my memory on how shit it actually is. I do know how shit it is. I've been on it a few times, but still. But I think Via Ferrata, you're clipped in, aren't you? You're clipped onto a thing. Is
It's
there different
like
levels?
Go Ape.
Can you go the hardest level?
Yeah, obviously we'll go straight to that.
Yes.
Obviously, we'll give like no attention to anything we say in the podcast and just go straight to the hardest level and pretend we're experts.
Yeah, well, I'm changing my Instagram handle to Via Ferrata Alley. What about you?
I've actually been Via Ferrata Kirsty for a while now because I've done one once.
Oh, okay. I've thought
That's
about
how
it
it works.
twice,
Hey,
so.
do you want to know something really, like, in that really depressing book that I read, one very interesting thing I did find out, they use beauty influencers who are not real. There are beauty influencers out there who are doing videos all the time. They've got millions of followers and they're not real people.
They're like basic AI, aren't they?
Yeah, they're AI generated
Yeah,
people.
I have watched a program about this based in Asia about the perfect plastic surgery. And there's an influence. So if you go in for plastic surgery, you can ask the influencer look. You
I
can ask to
saw
have your
that
face
program. I remember
done,
that. Yeah, yeah,
as an influencer.
yeah,
But the problem is,
yeah,
the influencers aren't actually real. They
yeah.
are fucking AI. And it's absolutely fucking mental.
It's mental, but why don't we do that? Why don't we just pretend that all those people on Instagram who are, calling themselves Via Ferrata a
Via
person
Ferrata Bev.
because they did it once and now they're basing their entire personality. Why don't we just pretend they're not real? Wouldn't it make it easier?
Well, they aren't real. One of them isn't. The one that triple filters their fucking photos isn't.
God, I mean,
The one
that's
that
all of them, isn't it?
Smirnoffs all of her fucking images.
Didn't your boyfriend used to do that?
Yeah, I did. He was really good looking though, so I don't understand why he used to do it.
Well,
Anywho. I love you. I'm excited about Via Ferrata, I'm going to be honest. I'm very excited about it. I guess I just need to bring myself and my trainers.
Yeah, I think so. I'll check in with them this week. One
Woohoo!
o'clock, 1 o'clock.
I know, I'm going to be there. I've got to drive up from
Okay.
here to the, we won't say the destination, but we all know where it is.
Let's say it's in Wales,
Can
the one in Wales. We're
people
going all in
come?
Wales. I don't know because it might be. She might have to stay in a car. I don't
No, she's
know.
not really coming. She can't fucking get
Okay.
up. She can't get up driven. She's not coming.
I was about to say, oh, I won't do it then. I'll go to the cafe with Pickle.
She can't. No, she can't get up driven. So the other day when I was at the lakes,
Oh,
I
don't
came off
make fun of
Hallam.
her.
I'm not, but she's just got a bit of an issue. She's a bit of a princess. I came off Hallam Fell, and I scrambled down a side bank because I thought it'd be easier. She just stood at the top looking at me like, "Mother, mother, and then she vanished, and I was like, fucking hell. So I had to scramble back up a different side, and she just was too scared to come down. But that's fair enough. She's got her boundaries. She's not, she's
Also,
risk averse.
I imagine down climbing when your legs only bend one way is probably not that easy.
She's got four of them. And I bet if there was a sheep at the bottom, she would have gone for it.
I bet in fact, we were once going up
Red Screes, I
Red
believe it was.
Screes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red Screes.
And we got to the scrambly bit. Are you all right, Pickle? I turn around. Where's she gone?
Fucking goat. And she chased the goats, didn't she, all the way up the other side. We just watched this like flock of goats just go, and she was just, and we just left her. Herded them up,
Yeah.
came back again.
No, nobody was harmed though, were they? No one was
No
harmed.
goats were harmed. They were tidied up into a corner, and then
And
she came back. Fucking
then
pigeon.
after we'd all like descended the 200 meters or whatever, she turned around and went, "Oh, it's all right, I'll come back now."
Yeah, exactly. Fucking prick. Better take that fucking prick down the reserve so she can get in the
That's
water.
charming.
I love you. Thanks for doing the podcast with me. I'll see you in 3 weeks, but then really, I'll see you next Monday at the Via Ferrata.
See you next Monday.
Next Monday. Thank you for listening to the Running Won't Save You podcast. If you have got 2 seconds, or maybe a bit longer, maybe a minute, can you head over to Apple or Spotify and give us 5 stars, please? We don't want to hear all the things you don't like about the pod, just the good stuff. We'd also encourage you, while you're on the internet, to go and check out Reaction Collective. Reaction Collective are a collective of wonderful human beings who are striving to make things a little bit better environmentally for everybody. They fix everything from tents to t-shirts, and they have an amazing collective. So go to have a look at Reaction Collective, Google it, you'll find it. Pre-Love Sports. We also support them. Pre-Love Sports sell secondhand kit, and they collect good quality secondhand kit to sell on as well, which encourages the circular economy of running. Into Ultra are an amazing charity who help people getting into the sport because it is very expensive, as we all know. So they're a great company to be part of, great charity to get involved with. Just Google Into Ultra to see how you can help. And finally, our favourites, the Green Runners. If you're not a member of the Green Runners, then why the hell aren't you? It's easy to pledge. It's only £2.50 a year, and you can wear the same badge as Jasmine Paris, so a bit of virtue signalling. Thanks to all of our friends, and thanks to you, the listener. We will see you next week.